Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Town Square Sunday. I'm your host, Jim Phillips. This program highlights nonprofit agencies and charitable organizations, large and small, as they do what they do to improve the quality of life here on the South Coast. The 109th Feast of the Blessed Sacrament happens at Madeira Field in New Bedford, July 31st, August 1st, August 2nd, and August 3rd. It is a wonderful celebration of Portuguese culture, food, entertainment, and much more. Much of it is free, including admission. I don't know how they, you know, really that you could get away with charging people a buck, but they don't do it. They keep the admission free. It's said to be the largest Portuguese feast in America. All right? Maybe bigger.
It is. All right.
Joining me today to talk about the feast is Carl Colangelo, president of the feast for 2025, and vice president John Alves, who's been part of the feast for 50 years. I mean, that's incredible. So, gentlemen, both, thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Right. Thank you for having us.
Let's start with you, Carl, Mr. President 2025. Many people who serve as president of the feast often have relatives who previously served, either worked with the feast or served as president. What's your story? What's your history?
My history is my mother was born in Madeira, but coming to America, they worked very hard. And the feast has always been a part of our life, but my family was not really directly involved. I'd go down as a kid and work with friends and family. John's cousins, Dave Lucio and them, would welcome me into their family. We'd help alongside them in some of the barracas. And since I was about 14 till now, I've always helped at the feast.
Okay, so 30 years?
Yeah, maybe a little more.
John Alves, 50-year involvement with the feast. You have been there every year doing, I'm sure, all kinds of tasks. Why did you keep doing it?
Because it's an inheritance from my family to be able to do this. It's a wonderful gift from them to be connected to this, you know. And I'm not the only ones who's celebrating 50 years this year. There are quite a few of us.
I met a few elderly folks in my years covering the feast. And I can tell you that some of those folks were older than you.
There are a few.
You're not that old.
I'm getting there.
Okay. Planning for the feast, I'm told, Carl, is a year process. When this feast ends on Sunday, August 3rd, there will be discussion about next year's feast.
Absolutely. And next year is an anniversary year. And normally, if there's no anniversary year, the next year's committee will actually meet on that Sunday evening of the feast.
Okay.
To start the next year's celebration.
How important is that next year being an anniversary? What is the anniversary?
Anniversaries occur almost every 10 years.
Okay.
And they kind of put the onus on the club, the whole body of the club, to serve as the feast committee. So when you got more people on the feast committee, a lot more things can happen.
The club that Carl is talking about is the club Metarance SS Sacramento. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. So, and this is a club that's really been in existence for like forever, since the feast started. There may have been other variations of it, but the fact is, this club is very active, obviously with the feast, but active in other ways too, which I think we'll touch on a little later on in our questions here. This year, much has been said about attracting people from Boston. And you're hoping that the train will play a major role in that, right?
Absolutely. John and our presenters team has reached out to Kiosk, the people that run
Kiolis,
the train.
Kiolis.
And we put together a little package on Saturday and Sunday that if they buy a round-trip ticket, they'll arrive at Church Street Station. They'll be given free transportation from Church Street Station to the feast and back again. And the feast will compensate them with a $20 gift card to help them enjoy the feast.
That's a pretty good idea. This is the first year. We don't really know how successful it's going to be. Is there, have you done any advertising?
Or, oh, yes.
To let the people know up there.
Yes.
Whether it's Boston or Taunton or anything else, anywhere else, that we've got a big deal going on down here.
It has. We have a lot of coverage in the Boston area, from which we've been getting a greater audience every year.
Okay.
From north of Boston. There's a large Portuguese community in that area, but also other people are coming, even if they're not Portuguese.
We're not going to see one or two people on a train. We're going to see...
Hopefully, we're going to see quite a few.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a Saturday and Sunday situation.
Yes.
How did that idea come about? I mean, I know that, look, on Friday night, Saturday night, even Sunday night, you've got all the people you can handle to some degree. Why this way? Why did we decide to get more people?
It's really about promoting the Portuguese culture and the New Bedford community, because they're a heavy part of the Portuguese culture in this area outside of New Bedford. And we've had people in the past, they've had buses come from California years ago. And there's a lot of people that are relocated in Connecticut, Boston, north of Boston, New Hampshire, that actually come down annually. So this is a way of embracing that and spreading the culture.
I know that there's been a tremendous amount of, work done every year on entertainment. It's free, by the way, folks. All these shows and tribute bands and performers, it's free. All of that entertainment is free. And that, along with the free admission, makes, it's a great thing that's happening there. But some have suggested to me, perhaps, that the feast may be going for more cultural entertainment in the future and scaling back on popular music acts to some degree.
It's a balance.
We're doing both.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, each year we try to keep our culture alive. You know, as generations, you are now fourth and fifth generation people on the feast, they become more and more Americanized. They still have these rich traditions at home where they bake with their parents, they cook with their parents, they learn from them. So we're keeping the original feast and its processions and its traditions alive, while bringing in a balance of pop culture music.
Yep.
Sad Day is our highlight for the Portuguese music.
Okay.
So Sad Day is primarily Portuguese and less of the American pop. But this year we're doing a tribute to American pop music, and we have over 50 bands and entertainers that are participating in this year's feast.
I mean, that's an amazing number. This is 4 days. You get 50 people.
4 days, five stages.
Yeah.
Free entertainment. And I think to Carl's point about generational changes, the Madeiran major influx of population was turn of the century, the last century. And so I'm second generation. The younger people in my family are fourth and fifth. They didn't have the great fortune to know the people who got on the boat and came here and helped New Bedford become the city it is.
Sure.
But yet, when they come to the feast, it's a direct thread to the stories they had from their great-grandmother and their grandmother. The food, maybe, or they remember hearing a joke that their great-uncle said, and it's just a wonderful opportunity for us to share that with new generations.
There's going to be a lot of cultural performers, like Carl mentioned, on Saturday. It's going to be that day. Will there be a folkloric group from Madeira?
Oh,
that was last year, right?
That was last year. This year, our folkloric group will be performing a couple of days. We have two other folkloric groups that are going to perform on Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. Our folkloric group will be in the parade. And there'll be a lot of singing and dancing. And at our museum, we have a special performance there. Daily, they'll have fado music. Fado's a very melodic, storytelling kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
And we have traditional fado singers from around the country.
You're listening to Town Square Sunday. I'm Jim Phillips. My guest is Carl Colangelo, president of the 2025 Feast of the Blessed Sacrament. John Alves is here as well. He is the vice president. And it's a pleasure to have both you gentlemen here. So give us a rundown on the food situation. Now, look, every year you used to release, we got, 2,500 pounds of linguica.
Oh, a little more than that.
I'm sure you do. But the fact is, I looked on the website, I studied the website, and I didn't see much of that kind of breakdown. Maybe I missed it.
I'm not sure if it's on the website this year, but it's 10,000 pounds of everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's just remarkable. And this year, we are also importing and bringing several new products from Portugal, which we haven't had before. The very famous pastéis de nata, the dessert custard cups that everybody loves, are coming directly from Portugal, and we will be preparing them at the feast. Mm. We have a Portuguese fresh drink called sumol, which is popular all over the world, as well as a coffee from Portugal. We hope to give the Big D a run for its money with iced coffee, but a Portuguese twist.
All right. The number of food, the amount of food can be staggering for this event, but clearly it's all part of the package in terms of the cultural presentation and things like that. And it's, if you've never been, and I can't imagine talking to too many people who have never been to the feast, it's an experience. Daytime is fine, nighttime, more people, more performances, more everything.
Yeah.
But clearly, it's a lot of fun, no matter when you go. So, Carl, tell us the story of Madeira wine.
Okay, Madeira wine is a fortified wine.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the...
Fortified wine?
Fortified wine. That means that a spirit has been added to it.
Okay.
It started probably back in the 1500s when Madeira was a stop for sailors. And they'd pick up some wine and travel along with it. Sometimes the wine would spoil. So they learned very quickly that the Madeiran grape, that if they had mature wine on the boat and they added a little bit of brandy to it, I'm cutting out a lot of things, they tried other spirits first, that it actually made the wine taste better and preserved it.
Hmm.
And at one time there was one trip Madeira and two trips, a round trip going across the equator twice. And that was a premium Madeira wine. So Madeira wine is a fortified wine that gets heated in special houses called estafas, so they can get that same blending of the brandy and the heat, and then they blend it to the final product.
Madeira wine was after the signing of the Declaration of Independence?
Is yes, right? As a toast, the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
And Madeira wine was used for that toast.
And many of our revolutionary fathers had stockpiles of Madeira on their estates.
Okay, fine. So this entire four-day event, gentlemen, really wraps up with a giant parade on Sunday, although there's plenty happening after the parade on the feast grounds. This parade has been historically big and is really quite a summer treat with anything, folklore groups for sure, but high school bands, floats, the whole thing. It's really a special parade.
Probably the largest parade in southeastern Massachusetts.
Yep.
We have hundreds of participants in it, and starts off at 2:00 on Sunday afternoon. The committee will be marching at the front of the parade, and we have people from, like you said, all high schools in the area, representing all kinds of businesses and entertainers. We have the Friendly Sons out there.
Yeah.
It really is a great event, and you can see it from Cushion Avenue all the way marching down Earl Street and onto the feast grounds where it ends.
John, has it always been this big a parade?
It's been a big parade for a very long time.
Yeah.
It became very popular. I think it really took off after World War II, when so many men of my father's generation who grew up in New Bedford came back, and there was a pride of having served the country. It was the first generation to do that. So I think that started it. So there's lots of flags of Portuguese and American, and people love it.
They do love it. They not only pack the area around Brookline Park, but all along the avenue, down Earl Street. take a left on Madera Avenue and then to the feast ground. So it's it's long. There are numerous divisions, and this year really should be no different. So we've talked about the feast and the four-day event, which is a very special event in New Bedford and really in southeastern Mass, I would think. The money you make, and I don't want really you to give me any numbers or anything like that, but I want people to understand that any profit that's made is later given away.
Yes, all expenses are taken out, and this, the whole purpose of this feast for us.
Yeah.
And we couldn't do it without, we have over 1,100 volunteers.
Yeah.
You count everybody that's actually putting on this feast. If we had to pay all those people, we wouldn't be able to give anything
back.
Right. The profit gets back. We donate to charities across the globe. There's some orphanages in Madera we give to, churches in the area, local groups that are in need. And the whole purpose is to try to give back to the New Bedford, the community, and Massachusetts.
And as of this year, we have reached over $2 million in scholarships.
Scholarships is what I'd like to talk about for a moment. Not only the scholarships, but more recently, awards to vocational students who may need some help paying for tools and clothing as they start their careers in the trade. Yeah. So clearly, that was a recent addition, but it has, grown a great deal.
I think it's very important for us to recognize not only the people going to college from this community, but like you said, the people that enter the trade. They have to spend money on work shoes, clothes, tools, and everything, and it's a... We just try to do our best.
Great addition.
Yeah. We do too. We're very proud of that.
So it's a great job by the founding organization, Club Mitterrands SS Sacramento, which, as John told us, has awarded more than $2 million over the past 25 years in scholarships and vocational awards.
Yeah.
It's really a pretty special thing. As we wrap this up, gentlemen, what's your expectations for the feast this year? John?
I just want to remind everybody that Saturday is Family Day, special Family Day, free food for kids under 12, and 50% discounts for seniors, and I'm one of them. So come to the pavilion for a great Portuguese dinner.
Me too, John. And Carl, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, and for me, the feast has always been a place to reconnect with family, friends, classmates, and everything. We do our best to make it a safe and friendly environment so that people of all ages can talk to one another. And I just want everybody to have a great experience. I hope they come down, enjoy, meet new friends, and leave there happy.
Yeah. Hopefully it's 5 to 10 degrees cooler. Probably won't be, but hopefully. And hopefully you'll see a good crowd of people who've never been before coming through, visiting New Bedford, and enjoying the feast. My guest has been Carl Colangelo, president of the 2025 Feast of the Blessed Sacrament at Madera Field in New Bedford. It's happening July 31st, August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. There's free admission, free entertainment, and it's a great place to meet people you haven't seen since high school. Really. You meet people you haven't seen for 30 years. That's really, or more. That's really one of the wonderful parts about the feast, as Carl mentioned. So thank you, Carl and John, for coming in. I appreciate you doing that. It's a steamy day. Even though the feast is 2 weeks away, you've still got things to do, I'm sure. They're feast-related. But thanks again for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been our pleasure.
We'll be right back with Victoria Grisella from the United Way. She has two programs she'd like to tell us about, and that's coming up in just a moment.